What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about nitric oxide boosters. So we're doing a whole series kind of on various supplements. This is one of the big ones, especially for pre-workouts out there. So they're designed to give you better pump in the gym, you know, make you feel bigger, stronger, all that type of stuff. So we're going to break down the science and kind of recommend if they're good or not. But first, quick check-in. So Tom, how's your week been?
It's been same old. So I thought I'd share a new study that just came out. It came from a school, maybe you've heard of it, UC Davis.
Yeah, that's my school.
Yeah, so this is on, sorry, keto community, this might make everybody mad, but it's on avocado oil, especially like virgin avocado oil or extra virgin avocado oil. That's supposed to be pure avocado oil, unrefined everything. Well, it turns out that 82% of the avocado oil studied are either cut with something else or rancid at the time that it's sold. So rancid basically just means that all the omega 6s and 3s that are in that are oxidized. Now, not only is it not good for you, it's straight up bad for you. You're basically like consuming some sort of poison. So avocado oil, be careful when you buy it. It's not the darling, it's not the savior oil that we all thought it used to be.
Yeah, I think this study is a trip. And I know, like we talked prior to when we started this, we've talked about avocado oil in the past, and even stuff like olive oil, we've talked about how we know a lot of the olive oil in the grocery stores is cut with different oils. And even if it says extra virgin, it's most likely not 100% pure. So if you are going to use these oils, like, really make sure you look into the manufacturer and that you trust it. You know, if you can find a local source where you can actually see where it's produced and you can talk to the people who produce it, that's obviously the best. But if not, go with something that's actually shelf stable that you can actually see with your own eyes is actually solid fat, like butter or like lard or like beef tallow. Like, that type of stuff is 100% what it says it is 99% of the time, because, you know, there's just no money in cutting that stuff. So that's what I would go with. But like you said, avocado oil is like the golden child of the keto community, you know?
Yeah, because it's both keto and vegan. Yep. So it's
like it doesn't piss anybody off.
Yep. So it makes everybody happy. But yeah, unfortunately, that's not the case. Three of the oils that they tested were damn near 100% soybean oil, which we've talked about in the past in probably half of our podcast and just how straight up poison that stuff is.
Yep.
So yeah, like, unfortunately, avocado oil is just not, it's just not the safest thing that we thought it would be. Strangely enough, though, three of the oils tested that did the best as far as like purity and, I'm trying to think of the right word, just like it was still shelf safe, like mm-hmm. It didn't oxidize. They came from, here, do you want to take a guess? What country?
Shit, I don't know, Mexico?
Yep.
There you go. See, I knew avocados come from Mexico. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah. I was thinking if I had to bet, if Mexico had the best three or the worst three, I would have bet the worst three. I mean, no offense against Mexico.
Yeah, racist, but I mean, bro. It's sensitive times now.
I mean, I just don't have any. No offense against them. I just don't think that they're up to our American standards. Uh-huh. But I guess our American standards are shit. Suck. I mean, we should be living off of Mexico standards for
yeah,
free.
Bro. America is like not number one in shit anymore. Like, literally. Yeah.
Yeah. So some advice for buying avocado oil if you still want to do it. Personally, I don't, because it's just way too expensive. I mean, this is pretty much the same thing. You could apply what I'm about to say to olive oil as well. Buy it in a dark bottle like the dark green bottles are going to be better. Any sort of oil should have a taste. If there's no taste from the oil, that means that stuff's rancid and you should just throw it out because it's just poison at this point. Like, it's not good for you at all. So you want to do extra virgin, dark bottle, store it somewhere dark and cool. Like, don't put it next to your stove where it's going to be getting a lot of light. Don't put it in a windowsill where it'll be getting sunlight, anything like that. That's going to make it oxidize faster. As soon as your oil loses its taste, throw it out. And, I mean, that's pretty much it if you even want to do that. Pretty much, I agree with what Tyson said. I only buy butter. It's the only, like, fat I use. I'll buy some ghee on occasion, which is basically just, like, butter, but a little bit, like, it's refined butter. I'll buy that from time to time, depending on if it's on sale. But most of the time, like, I cook a lot of fatty food, so I just cook it in its own fat. Like, bacon, I don't need to throw something in a pan to cook bacon. Bacon just coats itself.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I don't buy any, or I don't use any extra fat, added fat with anything, just because 99% of my stuff that I eat has enough added fat to, you know, coat whatever pan I'm using. So, kind of save money there. But, yeah, one of the reasons, like you said, most of that oil, 82%, was either rancid or cut with some other type of oil. People think the term, like, rancid means you're going to open the bottle and it's going to smell gross, or you're going to taste the oil and it's going to taste nasty. But that's really not the case with omega-6s. Specifically, we talked about this. We have a whole podcast on industrial seed oils, which is what these are. So you can go back and listen to that if you want, like, the hard details. But we don't have a taste bud for oxidized omega-6 fats. We just don't. We've been exposed to them so little throughout evolution, we never developed a taste for it. So that's why Tom said, if it's all gone to shit, if it's all rancid, it'll taste like nothing because our body doesn't even recognize it. As far as our tongue, you know, our taste buds, we have no taste buds for it. So that's one of the reasons why something can go bad and we wouldn't even notice. And stuff like canola oil, soy oil, it's so commonly used because it's, like, taste neutral. Like, it doesn't contribute anything to it. And so people don't really think about it, but that's why it is like that. Our body just doesn't have taste buds for it.
Yeah, I know. And that's really unfortunate because there's just no way for, like, the average consumer to know. You just wouldn't know that they're bad.
It'd be way easier if you open the bottle and it just, like, stunk, you know?
Yeah, or if it was like an omega-3 and just smelled like rotten fish, yep. You would know.
Mm-hmm. You'd know, exactly, you'd know. Yeah, so no, that's a good study. Thank you for bringing that up. Like, just so to be careful, man. And I know avocado oil is just, like, the hot thing, but I just recommend don't use any sort of liquid oils. I just don't even think you need to use olive oil. Just use butter, use ghee, use lard. Animal source fats are the way to go. They're just more stable. They're healthier, literally in every way. They just are.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you don't even want to really use an oil. You want to use something that is solid at room temperature. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's, I don't know, it's counterintuitive to the popular, like, narrative out there, but that's what we've been consuming our entire existence. Like, that's the safer stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, like, we've been eating that stuff for millions of years. Heart disease wasn't a thing. We introduced oils maybe last 100 years, and now heart disease is the biggest killer on the planet. Like, you know, make the connections, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're industrial seed oils. That's what we call them for a reason, is because they were invented to basically just lubricate machinery. Like, you wouldn't go, like, drinking olive oil, I mean, motor oil. You wouldn't start cooking your food in that. This is basically the same thing. Yep. This is what these oils were designed for. They were designed to be machine lubricants back in the Industrial Revolution. And now there's just been so much of it, we just decided to put them into our food supply, which makes no sense. And that's one of the major reasons we're so fat and sick today.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, literally one of the biggest reasons is these oils we use, 1,000%. But no, that's cool, man. I guess that is a little off topic. We've been talking, like, we love nutrition. We love talking about that stuff. So you can go back and listen to all our old podcasts on that. But to get into this week's podcast, we're doing a whole, like I said in the intro, series on various supplements, ones that, some that we agree with, some that we don't. You know, we've talked about glutamine. We think that's a waste. We talked about BCAAs, and that's mainly a waste. You know, EAAs, that's a beneficial in certain circumstances. So today we're talking about nitric oxide boosters, and that term means something to me, but I did talk about this podcast to a few different people, and not everyone knows that term, you know? So that's kind of why I said pre-workout in the beginning. So you know that, right? Like, nitric oxide means something to you, right? Because we're like gym bros in a sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it just goes back to our gym days or our GNC days of just like kind of knowing all these different supplements and what's out there. But yeah, if you're taking any sort of, I mean, like what are some of the popular ones? Like is NO Explode still like one of the more popular ones? Or I think they have like more crazy names now.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't tell you. I really couldn't. Yeah. Like the fanciest pre-workout I have
either,
is coffee.
There's some sort of either combination of caffeine or some sort of nitric oxide booster, combination of the two. It's something along those lines. Something to give you a lot of energy, increase blood flow, give you a much better workout.
Yeah. So just to kind of break down what nitric oxide boosters are promoting, like what you'll see on the side of the bottle, it really talks about that feeling you get in the gym, that pump feeling, where your muscles are tight and honestly you look twice the size you really are. It feels great. So that comes from increased blood flow and vasodilation from your body producing nitric oxide. So that's why these nitric oxide boosters promote that type of stuff. The theory is the more nitric oxide you produce, the better the pump and the more you can take advantage of the benefits nitric oxide provides. And I specifically remember just like a story from back in the day when the first like real popular L-arginine supplement hit the market. It was literally just NO2. That's what it was called. And it was, God, I think it was $90 for a 3-week supply. And all it was L-arginine, the amino acid L-arginine. And it came with this book, this like 21-day transformation book. And it showed these dudes who were like literally average dose, average Joes day one, and like amateur bodybuilders day 21. And I remember I bought this stuff and I was maybe like 15 or 16. I genuinely believed I was going to get jacked in 3 weeks from taking L-arginine. Like I bought that stuff hook, line, and sinker. Do you remember NO2?
Oh no, I 100% remember everything that you're talking about. I personally didn't because I didn't have the money and I was not about to spend. You were not joking when you said it was like $90 for not even a month's supply.
Yep.
Like, it was crazy. And the amount that you were supposed to take was a lot. Like you're popping 4 pills in the morning, like another 4 pills before you work out, like another 4 pills like after you work out. Like that's
I think it was almost like 16 pills a day. It was something crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot. Like that's why it was not that's why it only lasted you like a few weeks. And that was like the recommended dosage. And that's the recommended dosage was for somebody my size. I mean, like somebody your size, you should be probably taking even more of that, mm-hmm. more than that. So, I don't know. That was one thing that was crazy. And you can buy L-arginine, which was pretty much the only thing that was in that thing, by itself. If you just look at where the amino acids are sold individually, you can buy essentially the same thing for like $10 and it'll last you a month.
Oh, it was, oh my God. Looking back, the biggest scam and the biggest waste of money. Did I get jacked in 3 weeks? Sure didn't. But I remember it was like some big hype around it. Like people really thought it was like steroids. Like, oh, you're taking NO2? Like, oh my God. Like it was like this almost like aura around it. Like you were doing something like kind of illegal. And I mean, whatever. Well, it's good marketing.
It sounds like a drug. Yeah. The advertising around that first one, the NO2 like product, like it looked super scientific. It really looked like some doctor just printed it up. Like you would get it from a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like your normal supplement thing with just like a bunch of jacked people everywhere. Like it looked really scientific, and then it did have those like crazy before and after pictures. But it didn't look like it was advertised for gym bros. It looked like it was just advertised to like a medical field.
Oh, you know, very clean white bottles. It had blue and red lettering. Yeah, very clean. And looking back, yeah, it should be illegal. Like, there's, I don't know, to have those before and after pictures that obviously weren't true, like, not even close to being true. Like, man, they are selling you, like, snake oil. Like, it's just it's all lies. It really is.
Well, honestly, it's not even that hard to do some of those before and after pictures. Because, like, if I go to a buffet today, and I just like eat all I can and I like try and push my gut out a little bit more, I can take a bad picture of myself. And then if I want to fast for like 3 days right afterwards, and I can get super lean right after, and it'll only be a difference of like 3 days, but it'll look completely different. So those before and after pictures, you can manipulate those so easy.
Yeah, I mean, but God, kids are just so gullible. Like, you know, obviously I didn't know that when I was 16, but I was so gullible. I believed all that stuff, man. I really did.
Well, yeah, and they had the price point to match it. So I was like, yeah, you get these crazy results, but you have to pay this like crazy price. So it's like, you should get what you pay for. Unfortunately, that's not the case. You just pay for some, I don't want to call it trash because it is beneficial, just not nowhere near to the extent that they were advertising.
Exactly. Yeah. So just to go into it, what exactly does nitric oxide do in the body? Because like Tom said, it's not like the pills are trash. It does do something, but not nearly what it said it does or did. But I don't even know if you can buy NO2 anymore like that. I bet that brand's completely gone. But so what nitric oxide does is it produces more oxygen, or it allows more oxygen to get to your working muscles, allowing you to work harder for longer, which is a good thing, obviously, if you're exercising or even performing some sort of athletics. More blood flow means you're moving more nutrients to the muscles, and you're also moving more breakdown products out of the muscles faster, which is, again, a good thing for performance. You're getting better recovery from increased nutrient delivery. You're getting a better pump and better performance. And to talk about a pump real fast, just how I talked about earlier with us, we might take for granted just knowing what nitric oxide boosters are. We also, I think, might take for granted what a pump is. Do you think that's pretty universal that people get a pump in the gym?
Well, I'm sure they get it. I just don't know if they know what that means. It's basically just like you notice your muscles swell up from all that increased blood flow. They get a little bit bigger. If you're working out a muscle, it should be pumped.
See, the thing is, like, I was talking to actually one of our clients a couple days ago. She asked me, she's like, oh, so what are you doing the podcast on? And I let her know. And I was like, yeah, you know, like a pump in the gym. And she was like, no. And I was like, so when you work out, your arms don't, like, get... Because, like, your biceps are one of the easiest muscles to get a pump. Certain muscles are hard. Like, most people, unless you're trained, won't get their lats pumped or won't get your quads pumped. Like, it takes some time. But almost anyone can go do some curls right now and they'll feel their biceps. And I was like, you know, you don't feel that in your biceps? She said, no. And I was like, man, like, that's depressing to me. Like, I wouldn't even... I don't know if I would work out if I didn't get a pump. Like, the pump and, like, feeling that big and that strong is, like, literally one of the best feelings in the world. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to quote Arnold on it, but yeah. If you've ever seen Pumping Iron,
yes,
he goes into great detail about what a pump means to him.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Google Arnold Schwarzenegger Pumping Iron. Yeah, so, and I agree with them. You know, it's like, it's right up there. It's one of the better feelings I'll ever have. And it's honestly addicting. So that these supplements and this product, nitric oxide, that our body produces is really responsible for that pump feeling, you know, that increased blood flow. So it's awesome. It's a great feeling to get in the gym. It's one of the reasons people get addicted to working out. So,
and all those benefits that you just listed, all that increased blood flow, that's going to help athletes of all kinds. That's not just going to help sprinters. It's not just going to help like gym bros. It's going to help endurance athletes. It's going to help everybody. Like, better blood flow is a straight up always going to be a benefit to any sort of athletic endeavor.
Yep.
Like, regardless of what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Anybody, no matter what you are. Yeah. So how is nitric oxide produced in our body? So it's produced from amino acids. The one we talked about earlier is L-arginine. That's kind of the primary one. But the other one is L-citrulline. These two amino acids are closely linked. When we consume arginine, the body breaks it down using an enzyme called nitric oxide synthase into a gas called nitric oxide, that's what we're talking about, and citrulline. That newly created citrulline then heads to the kidneys to get reconverted back into arginine. So it's a cycle that's continuously happening in the body. Our body gets arginine, breaks it down to nitric oxide and citrulline, and then back to arginine. It just keeps going on and on. And when we consume citrulline alone, it goes straight to the kidneys to get converted into arginine. So it doesn't get converted to nitric oxide first like arginine does. And the real benefit of these supplements is the nitric oxide gas they produce. This increases blood flow, like we talked about, throughout the entire body. It causes vasodilation, so that kind of like veiny look. You'll see bodybuilders with their like veins popping out. That's vasodilation, meaning an increase in the size of our blood vessels, allowing more blood to flow through our body. More blood means more oxygen, means more nutrients, all a good thing. It's all what we want. No matter who you are, if you're just a gym bro or you're a top-level athlete, that's what you're looking for when you're training.
It's basically turning like a two-lane highway into a four-lane highway.
Exactly.
Just think of how much more traffic is able to flow on that. Like, that's basically what it's doing to your
body. So I pulled a quote from a study. I have a bunch of studies on the website, TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com, that outline various nitric oxide studies, various citrulline studies that kind of go through it. But just to talk down the literal like mechanism of action, I wanted to talk about, because I do like having a scientific background with this stuff. So this just talks about that. Quote, nitric oxide is involved in the regulation of blood pressure by inducing vasodilation via the stimulation of soluble guanyl cyclase and the subsequent rise in intracellular cyclic guanosine monophosphate, which ultimately results in vasodilation, end quote. So if you're a huge science nerd out there, that's how it works. Honestly, that shit means nothing to me, but that's what, you know, that's what's going on. You know what I mean? And it's actually really interesting. I didn't know this, but nitric oxide itself is very unstable. It has a half-life of only a few seconds, but its effects can last much longer. Like, obviously, you know, you feel it, but it's just kind of a signal. Like, our body gets a signal, hey, nitric oxide is here, do its thing. It's not like nitric oxide is around all day. It's just not something that is very unstable. But the more arginine we take in, the more nitric oxide we produce. And that's actually not, it's not supposed to be a thing. Like, this is referred to as the arginine paradox, because it shouldn't work like this based off the enzyme saturation. But taking arginine or citrulline does result in more nitric oxide in the body. And this is really just another example of how we really don't know the exact mechanism of action or how the body works. We talked about that with caffeine a lot last week, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago, I forget. But it's just crazy how we're in 2020. We have, you know, literally we have supercomputers in our pockets. Like, most people are probably listening to this on a supercomputer. You just don't know it. You know, you call it your cell phone. But we don't know really how this stuff works. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah, our bodies are so complex.
No, it's true. The body is so complex. Like, we just don't know. I just think it's a trip. I really do. And, like, that came up a lot in these studies. Like, the arginine paradox and how it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't work. Like, they talk about various constants and equations we use to kind of track the amount of enzymes. Because if all the enzymes in our body are saturated and we add more arginine, more nitric oxide shouldn't be produced, because arginine shouldn't have anywhere to bind to produce nitric oxide. But that doesn't seem to be the case. So we don't know how the hell it works, but it does seem to work. But this is a quote from a study, again, I have on the website. Quote, the authors concluded that arginine availability might be a rate-limiting step for nitric oxide synthesis, end quote. So really, the availability of arginine is the key step. So adding more arginine to your diet, or more arginine via the citrulline route, which we'll talk about in a minute, is kind of the rate-limiting step for the amount of nitric oxide we have in our body. So nitric oxide is the benefit to these supplements. What's the best way to boost nitric oxide? That's a real question here. And L-arginine isn't the best way to raise arginine levels in the blood. And I know that sounds kind of backwards. Like, I know that sounds stupid what I just said, but I'll break it down. Arginine itself, when we take it in kind of just, you know, through our diet, it's taken up by the liver so fast that blood L-arginine levels don't raise that much. It just kind of gets converted so fast, it doesn't have a chance to reach our blood supply and get converted to nitric oxide. L-citrulline, however, bypasses the liver and is metabolized by the kidneys into L-arginine and increases the amount of L-arginine in the blood. And therefore, it actually has a chance to increase the amount of nitric oxide produced. So, citrulline supplementation may be a better alternative than arginine, because its only fate in vivo, which means in our body, is the conversion into arginine, which is what we want. Arginine itself that we take in our diet has different fates. Our body can use it in different kind of processes, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So if we want to increase nitric oxide in our body, what we need to do is increase arginine. And the best way to increase arginine in our blood is to take in citrulline, not arginine itself. And this is a quote talking about that. Quote, citrulline is approximately twice as potent, which is most likely due to lower first pass metabolism, end quote. And this is actually, I'll continue this quote. Citrulline application elevated the nitric oxide biosynthesis indirectly by elevating arginine production, resulting in an improved endothelial vasodilator function, end quote. So that's what we're talking about. It's kind of counterintuitive, I get it, but we want to increase arginine in our blood. The best way to do that is citrulline, because arginine, that first pass metabolism, it's kind of very similar to glutamine. If you go back and listen to our glutamine podcast, glutamine, supplementing with glutamine is almost useless, because that first pass metabolism, even though it's not the liver, it's the gut, our body soaks up all that glutamine. It has no chance to go to our muscles. It's the same thing with arginine. Our body soaks up all that arginine. It has no chance to hit the blood supply and increase the nitric oxide levels. So that's kind of, does that make sense? Am I making that sense? Am I making that clear?
I mean, it's, you're saying it clearly. It's just very counterintuitive. Like, if you want more arginine, you consume citrulline. It's a little bit back, a little bit counterintuitive, but that's just the way it is. And we'll get into countless studies on why citrulline is better.
Yeah. So why is arginine picked up by the liver like so quickly and so abundantly? Here's a quote outlining that. Quote, arginine is a semi-essential amino acid found in various foods and is synthesized by the body itself. It serves as an intermediate in the urea cycle and as a substrate for the synthesis of nitric oxide, end quote. So it's involved in the urea cycle, which is very important in keeping our body safe from the harmful byproducts of protein breakdown. That pathway seems to take priority when the body absorbs arginine directly, and the body relies on arginine for the majority of its citrulline pool. The dietary sources of citrulline are lacking. It's simply not very abundant in people's diet. The best source is watermelon. Other sources are various vegetables like onions and garlic, but these vegetables, like all other vegetables, don't contain that much protein overall. So that kind of puts in, I don't know, frame of reference, kind of puts in the right light that out of the two processes, like, is our body going to prioritize nitric oxide production or the urea cycle? And the urea cycle, if that goes to shit, you're dead. But if you don't produce nitric oxide, you're just sick. So those are kind of how it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely the protecting you from like protein poisoning is much more important than just expanding your blood vessels a little bit. One will kill you immediately. One will impact you, give you like a slow, painful death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our body kind of prioritizes that one.
Yeah, and talking about how citrulline is the best way or is a better way than just arginine by itself. So one thing that bodybuilders, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to do this back in the day, is they would eat a bunch of watermelon before they'd go on stage to get that citrulline so they can get a better pump so they look bigger and more vascular on stage. So many bodybuilders, I don't know if they still do, but they used to consume watermelon backstage.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I think that's obviously, I mean, it's half smart because, yeah, you are getting citrulline, but to get enough citrulline to produce any sort of major effect, you're going to have to eat pounds of watermelon. But hey, that's okay. You know, it's better than nothing.
Hey, if anybody can eat pounds of watermelon, I'm going to put my money on somebody.
On bodybuilders. Yeah, no, that's true. No, it's very true. So, yeah, so taking arginine directly might not be the best for increasing nitric oxide because its bioavailability is low. And has this been looked at in studies? Yes, it has. So this is a study kind of outlining the bioavailability of supplement with arginine. This is kind of a long quote, but I just want to read it all. So, quote, based on survey data from 1988 to 1994, the average American adult intake of arginine was estimated to be 4.4 grams a day. Besides dietary intake, de novo synthesis accounts for 5 to 15% of plasma arginine. Data from 1999 study on 10 healthy volunteers receiving an oral dose of 10 grams of arginine, which is actually a really high dose, showed highly variable bioavailability ranged from 5% to 50% among subjects, with an average of 21%. In contrast, a study based on 8 healthy males administered an oral dose of 6 grams estimated at 68%. So the range, end quote, the range of absorption in these studies was either 5 to 68%. That's a huge range. But even at its best, we are absorbing 2/3. And that's kind of, that goes back to everybody's different. You know what I mean? These supplements are going to work for some people and they're not for others. Because if you absorb 5% of this arginine, or even say this, you can supplement this for citrulline as well, you're not going to get the benefits because you're just not going to absorb enough, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't know enough about it to know what the limiting factor is on why some people are only absorbing 5% versus 68%. That's a huge range, and unfortunately, we just don't know enough about it yet to really know what you can be doing to increase that, how much you're absorbing.
Yeah, exactly. So supplement with arginine by itself doesn't seem to be the best because the bioavailability is low. There's just kind of no way around that. Is supplementing with citrulline any better? So there's a few studies on that. This is a quote. Quote, they found that 0.75 grams of citrulline given twice a day increase the arginine area under the curve to the same extent as both 1.6 grams of slow-release arginine given twice a day and 1 gram of immediate-release arginine given 3 times a day, demonstrating the potency of citrulline, end quote. So that just shows how much more, I guess, bioavailable and potent citrulline is in getting, like, more arginine in the blood. Like, citrulline is the way to go.
Well, it seems like, based off of that, if you take half the citrulline, you to get the same amount of arginine as you'd have to take double the amount of arginine. Mm-hmm. You'd have to take 3 grams of arginine to get the same amount as you would out of 1.5 grams of citrulline.
Yeah. That's pretty big, so, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially when citrulline has to get converted to arginine. Like, that's it's crazy how much better that is as a source to get the same thing.
Yeah, even though it requires a whole other step. Yeah, exactly. So there seems to be a synergistic effect with taking both arginine and citrulline at the same time. Citrulline seems to down-regulate the enzyme that breaks down arginine, so it decreases the amount that arginine is broken down during that first pass, allowing more arginine to get into the blood supply and turn into nitric oxide. And this is a quote outlining all of that. This is another kind of long quote as well, but it's pretty good in demonstrating the kind of the effectiveness of supplementing with both arginine and citrulline at the same time. So, quote, "The combined use of arginine and citrulline has also been proposed as an alternative to the isolated use of either one. Experiments on mice and rabbits receiving oral citrulline, arginine, or a combination at a half dosage of each demonstrate that the combined use was effective at acutely raising plasma arginine levels. A double-blinded randomized placebo-controlled study on 42 healthy Japanese males randomized to either oral citrulline, arginine, a combination at half doses of each, or placebo, so pretty good study, had similar results. Both papers suggested that the apparent synergistic effect on short-term plasma arginine levels might be due to suppressed arginase activity because citrulline, as demonstrated by Shear, limiting the first pass metabolism of arginine," end quote. So that's kind of the mechanism of action, and it just shows that if you want to get the best bang for your buck, taking both at lower dosages is the right route to go.
It also seems like it'd be a much more cost-effective route as well.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing that I pulled from some of these studies is that dietary glutamine can also be used by the body to make citrulline, which is something that doesn't ever really get talked about. And that just goes back to our body. If you looked at amino acid metabolism, it's not a straight line. Think of it like a big spider web or a big Christmas tree. We have these amino acids all being converted into various intermediaries and then various other amino acids. So they're all kind of interlinked. So glutamine can be another source for citrulline. And this is a quote about that. Quote, "Approximately 13% of glutamine taken up by the intestines was converted to citrulline." So a pretty big dose. "Plasma glutamine was a precursor of 80% of plasma citrulline, and plasma citrulline in turn was a precursor of 10% of plasma arginine. In conclusion, glutamine is an important precursor for the synthesis of arginine after intestinal conversion to citrulline in humans," end quote. So in my opinion, therefore, adding citrulline to a protein powder might be an effective way in increasing nitric oxide by taking advantage of the arginine and glutamine content of the protein powder. In a 50 gram whey protein shake, which is pretty standard 2 scoops of whey protein powder, you're getting about 1 gram of arginine and 9 grams of glutamine. So both of those are going to contribute to that citrulline pool in kind of a roundabout way, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if you're not taking a protein powder, I would think just taking citrulline with food, with like a high protein meal in general, should do the same thing, because most protein sources are going to be high in glutamine.
For sure.
So you can achieve the same thing even without taking 2 supplements. If you just want to take a citrulline supplement by itself, just including that with a high protein meal like a steak or a bunch of eggs would achieve something very similar.
Very similar. Yeah, I 100% agree. I namely go for the, I'm using the whey protein shake because this is literally my regimen. This is what I do pre-workout. And It's really easy to look back on like the side of a protein label and it literally will tell you the amount of amino acids in it. If you go back and kind of Google the amount of amino acids in a steak, it's kind of hard to kind of gauge it because there's different cuts of steak, you know? But
yeah.
Yeah, so the max efficacious dose, so like the mass like effective dose of citrulline is 9 grams in all the studies. But supplementing with that much citrulline can be expensive. So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. But combining arginine and citrulline in one shake can yield the best results for the price. So what I do is take about 6 grams of citrulline to 1 gram of arginine from that protein powder. And I think that is kind of my recommendation for the best bang for your buck. You get the citrulline, which gets converted into arginine in the blood. That arginine gets converted to nitric oxide. You get the benefits of all that better pump while training. And the 1 gram of arginine in the protein powder becomes more effective and better absorbed. It increases the bioavailability via the presence of the extra citrulline in the protein powder. So it's kind of a 2-for-1 combo. And don't even talk about the glutamine, because the glutamine contributes to both pools. And so that's what I like to do. I like to get all that in one pre-workout. And I think it's, I don't know, I think it's the best, like I said earlier, bang for your buck.
Yeah, that makes total sense. How long before your workout do you take that? Like an hour, half an hour?
Yeah, so I wake up, the first thing I do in the morning is make my shake, and then I kind of just chill for an hour. I wake up dumb early, so resting for an hour isn't that big of a deal. You know, like I still have plenty of time throughout the day. And then I get to training.
Okay. Yeah, and sure. Have you noticed any like upset stomachs with anything like that?
I haven't, no. Mm-mm. Okay. I know some of the higher dosage of arginine and citrulline, like when you take like 10 grams of arginine at once, some studies show that they can cause kind of an irritated stomach. And that makes sense. You know, if you take a whole bunch of one supplement on empty stomach, some people are going to have an effect, you know, or some sort of reaction. But with this, the 2 grams of whey protein, 6 grams of citrulline, I haven't noticed any adverse reactions.
Okay, good, good. Just check and see, because I haven't really experimented with citrulline. Mm-hmm. I have arginine. I don't remember ever having any issues with that, but I haven't experimented with citrulline, so I was just kind of curious mm-hmm. how it actually affected somebody.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing now. Like I talked about, I don't know when I first talked about this, a few weeks ago. Honestly, it could have been a few months ago, just how I was increasing my supplement intake, just trying to maximize on workouts as much as possible, and citrulline was one of the things I kind of stumbled upon and started adding into my regimen. And it's really hard for me to notice, I don't know, decreased soreness or decreased kind of perceived effort, because I am so trained, it's kind of hard for me to notice those things. But having a good pump in the gym, I do notice, and that's good enough for me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you've been training for so long, you're not going to see a 10% like increase in anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you'd have to take for you to, like,
everything.
I mean, a ton of HGH or something like that.
Exactly.
For you to notice any, like, noticeable improvements. Like, anything that's going to help is going to be, like, a 1% increase. So if you're noticing any sort of benefits, like, you, it's for sure helping.
Yeah, I agree. And you added this as well, and I'm glad you did, because I wanted to talk about it, is that nitrites and nitrates in food are also, there's a whole different pathway our body uses to produce nitric oxide. So arginine and citrulline is one, and it's a primary one, but there's a whole other side process that we can tap into that also contributes to nitric oxide pool in the body.
Yeah, so we're talking about supplements now, but me and you both believe the philosophy that food should be first.
For sure.
Always you should have your diet dialed in, and then once that's maxed out, once you have an A-plus diet, then it's okay to start adding in supplements. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about now. This is where you should have your diet dialed in at. So eating foods high in nitrates, those are a building block for nitric oxide. So that's going to be another important factor in producing enough nitric oxide. So foods high in nitrates are going to be things like processed meats, bacon, sausage, deli meat, that type of thing. Don't fear those processed meats. They don't cause cancer. The evidence for that is so weak, and it's based off a bunch of crappy studies, and it only shows a tiny increase. I don't even understand why people believe it's a thing. It's honestly a shame that the scientific community even makes that claim, because the evidence is so weak on it.
Yeah.
But just don't fear that stuff. I eat bacon every day. I eat all that type of food all the time.
Do we have a whole podcast on that, by the way?
What's that?
Do we have a whole podcast on that?
On nitrates?
No, on processed meats and cancer.
On meat causing cancer. I know we do. I just don't know which podcast it is. Yeah. It's been a long time.
It was. It's in the past. It was our rebuttal to a what the health.
Yeah, we just kind of just looked at, I think it shows like it increases like the absolute risk is like goes from like 4.8 to like 5.4%. It's such a small amount that it's not even statistically relevant.
But no, I mean, even wording it like that doesn't do it justice. Like, it's such a small amount that it shouldn't even be discussed.
Yeah, if you look at it, it's like four people would get cancer without eating this stuff, and then it's like four people. I think if you do the math right, it's like still four people, maybe five people.
Yeah.
So like one more person out of 100,
and we,
which is nowhere near enough for you to make that claim.
Not at all. And yeah, so go back and listen to that study or that podcast if you want to actually break down why that claim is complete bogus, because trust me, it is. But yeah, sorry, keep going on this.
Yeah. So processed meats that are full of nitrates, those are going to be good sources for nitrates. Beets and leafy greens are another good source. You'll see a lot of like beetroot powder is like a popular supplement, and that's the reason why, is because it's high in nitrates. Leafy greens are also high in nitrates. It's really funny is, for whatever reason, the bacon and sausage get blamed because of their nitrate content, but beets and leafy greens are perfectly fine because of their nitrate content. I don't understand why the nitrates in one would be good and then the other it's bad, but hey, I didn't write those studies.
They're the exact same nitrates, people. Like, literally the exact same. And yeah, it's crazy, man. Anything green gets a pass. It just does. Because there's no way it can be bad, right? That's the narrative.
Yeah, and then, like, not to mention all the anti-nutrients and other things that will be causing you issues if you do eat a bunch of leafy greens.
And
like,
just know, lack of overall...
I don't even remember the last time I had them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Me either. But just think of the lack of anything actual beneficial. Like, how much quality protein are you getting in spinach?
Oh, next to none.
Next to none. How many quality fatty acids are you getting in spinach?
I think zero.
Probably zero, if not like 0.001. Like, you're getting pretty much nothing. Yeah, sure, maybe some vitamins and minerals. But, like, on the grand scheme of things, the calories are empty. It's like, come on, man.
And even the mineral content is going to be counteracted by the high amount of oxalates that are going to be in those leafy greens.
For sure. So, and when like, those...
Yeah,
when
you're consuming a bunch of minerals, but you're not absorbing any of them. Yep. So what's the point?
What's the point? Exactly, man. You're just wasting your money. You're just spinning your wheels and going nowhere. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so back to the topic.
yeah.
You want to increase nitric oxide, make sure you do have a diet that's going to be containing nitrates as well. That's pretty much the main point.
That's the main point, yeah. So... Yeah, so we're going to go into a few studies. Like, this actually has been studied a lot, it seems like, and really good studies, in my opinion, like randomized double-blind studies, which are kind of the gold standard nowadays, or whatever, always. And but the thing is, from my perspective, like, studies on these supplements rarely look at pump. Actually, never. Like, I've never seen a study look at pump, because that's such a kind of subjective thing. But a lot of these things look into, like, blood pressure reduction and... like performance in athletes. So like, did they run the race faster? Did they perform more reps? Stuff like that. So this first study I wanted to pull was 22 trained males. It was a randomized double-blind study. So 22 trained males consumed 2.4 grams of citrulline a day or placebo for 7 days. On day 8, they took 2.4 grams of citrulline or placebo 1 hour before a 4-kilometer cycling time trial. And L-citrulline supplementation significantly increased plasma L-arginine levels and reduced completion time by 1.5% compared with placebo. Moreover, citrulline significantly improved subjective feelings of muscle fatigue and concentration immediately after exercise. So that's showing a real benefit to the citrulline supplementation.
Yeah, I mean, it's only showing a reduction in 1.5%. But this is looking at trained athletes. So 1.5% in a trained athlete could be the difference between podium and just middle of the pack. So it is a pretty big, it's definitely a significant increase.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I know it sounds like, it doesn't sound even very impressive, but it is a lot. And I think you might be able to talk about this more with wrestling, but like if you have a race the next day, you know, compete on Friday and you also have a race on Saturday, or like, you know, you think of basketball, like back-to-backs, or even like baseball, 2 games in 1 day, like this increased recovery is super beneficial.
I mean, the increased recovery is going to help every sort of athlete. I mean, just, this is just fresh in my head, but just like the whole steroid era for baseball.
Yeah.
All those baseball players, they weren't lying when they said I took steroids because it to help me recover. They make it sound like, oh yeah, I'm trying to recover from an injury. But when you recover is actually when you get bigger, faster, stronger. So that's what it's all about, is increasing your recovery is how you get bigger, faster, stronger. That's what you want to do. Increasing your recovery is probably like the most beneficial thing that you could do.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So this is a study on arginine itself, not citrulline. It's a 56 male soccer players. Again, it's a randomized double-blind study, so pretty much as good as it gets. They supplemented with 2 grams of arginine a day, and they were looking if the arginine could increase the sport's performance in male athletes. And it said it did, but it had no effect on the anthropometric measurements. And I hate that term. I was talking to Tom about this before the podcast, how all these damn studies use these huge words to make people, I guess, confused. But all that means is, like, they didn't lose body fat. They didn't increase, like, the size of their biceps. You know what I mean? That's all that word means, anthropometric. But their sports performance, what they measured as VO2 max, significantly increased in the L-arginine supplementation group from 4.1 compared to the placebo group of 1.2. So that's a pretty big jump, you know? So, and that's VO2 max is what we're talking about. That's your gas tank. You know, that's pretty much what you have.
Yeah, VO2 max is one of the most important things when you're looking at a lot of, like, endurance sports and a lot of sports that aren't just, like, a sprinter. The VO2 max isn't really going to come into play. If you're, like a power lifter just trying to do one rep, the VO2 max isn't really going to come into play too much. But if you're talking, like, a basketball game where you're playing over 30 minutes, if you're doing running a marathon where you're running out there for a few hours, anything like that, anything that's more than a couple minutes, VO2 max is probably the biggest measurable thing that we have at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the more you have, the better you're going to be on those long distance or anything. Like, anything going over 10 minutes, you're going to need it. You know, that's a gas tank, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just basically just showing how much oxygen you're able to utilize. How much oxygen you're able to utilize means how much energy you're able to produce. The more energy you're able to produce, the longer you're able to go.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, we just mentioned a couple studies on men. Hey, we're not trying to just do studies on men. There's just way more studies on men than there are with women. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But here is a study looking at trained women athletes. These are either college athletes or women that just finished college, so top of their game. And this is looking at resistance training. So they tested citrulline malate versus the placebo. And it was looking at its effect on upper body, which they were measuring a bench press, and a lower body exercise, and they're measuring leg press. So the women taking citrulline malate performed significantly more reps overall and reported lower rates of perceived effort. So they're able to do more, and it felt easier to them.
Yeah, and so that's huge. And like you said, finding a study on women is actually very difficult. It's super easy to find a study on a guy like Tom, like the average white guy, because it's just, like, out there. But it's nice to see, like, a study on women, because it shows that this pathway is beneficial for guys and girls, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel like 90% of the studies that we mentioned are exclusively men. And if we don't differentiate between if it's a man versus a woman, more than likely it is going to be men, or at least men dominant in that study. That's just kind of like the scientific world. Don't blame us for it. That's just the way the researchers do it. So yeah. Blame the researchers, not us.
Oh, you know, it's something I never mentioned on the caffeine podcast. I don't know if you came across this on your studies, but that how caffeine can affect women differently depending on where they are in their cycle. So depending on the amount of estrogen they have in their body, the caffeine in, like, coffee or just caffeine in general can either be more effective or less effective depending on estrogen levels.
Well, I did not know that.
That's why studying women is very difficult, because shit will change literally, like, week by week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I understand why they do it. I mean, it's kind of messed up because you're excluding half the population from majority of the studies. But, yeah,
That's interesting, right? Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I would love to know more about that.
Yeah, complete not on topic, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so those were the studies I wanted to use, or we both wanted to use, talking about the benefits. And so in my opinion, adding a nitric oxide booster to your regimen can be beneficial, just solely focusing on the increased recovery angle. Being a trained athlete, I mean, I don't know if I call myself an athlete, but just being a trained individual, like, I know how hard it is to beat up your body every day. Anything that can increase recovery is huge. The increased pump like, that feels great, but that's not really the benefit in my mind. Like, that's kind of just like an extra add-on. It's really the increased recovery that's, I think, a big key there. But this isn't like a magic bullet. In order to take advantage of the increased recovery, you first need to break your body down. So just like with any supplement, you first have to put in the work or it won't do anything for you. And this is something David Goggins says a lot. Like, everyone wants to talk about their rest day. Everyone wants to talk about their cheat day. But hey, did you even put in the work yet? Like, that's what you have to ask yourself. Like, you don't get a rest day if you didn't put in the work. So if you're going to take these supplements, first get your diet dialed in, get your training dialed in 100%. Because if they're not, these supplements aren't going to do anything. And then once you have all the other things in your life dialed in, add this stuff to your regimen, still put in the work, and I think they can be beneficial.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that. I feel like a lot of people take supplements thinking that they're a shortcut, and there are no shortcuts in this world. None. Like, you have to put in the work. I mean, first thing, get your diet dialed in. Any supplement or any sort of nutrition is going to be way better and more bioavailable from a whole food source. And there's going to be a lot of other things in that that you're not even really thinking about.
Yep.
After you get all of that dialed in, then you can start looking at, okay, where are, like, some of the limiting factors that I can address? Okay, maybe I don't have enough arginine. Maybe if I do have more of that, okay, so I can start consuming citrulline and arginine to boost that. Okay, you know what? I'm not eating enough nitrates. So let me start consuming some more salami, some more bacon, something along those lines. Like, there's a lot of things you could be doing to it to increase this. And, yeah, it'll increase your athletic performance and your recovery, which will in turn increase your athletic performance even more.
Yep, exactly. So that's what it's about, you know, getting everything dialed in and then focus on adding in these things on top of that. And I actually looked into supplementing with nitrates, like, directly, like a supplement for that. But that's actually kind of hard to find. It's not very direct. So if you want to go down that route, just consuming high nitrate foods like we talked about, like Tom just said, salami or bacon, sausage, whatever, that's kind of the way I go about doing that. It's kind of hard to find like a nitrate powder, or at least I found it difficult to find. Not that I think
the closest
that hard.
Thing you would find would be a beetroot powder.
Yeah, it is. But I didn't want that because it's expensive, and even that isn't that high. Like, I wanted a direct source, you know, just like citrulline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think supplementing with citrulline is beneficial just because from a dietary standpoint, even someone like me who can eat literally like pounds of steak a day, I'm not getting that much citrulline because there's just not that much citrulline in the diet. It's a very low diet. I mean, a very low amino acid in damn near everything. The only thing is watermelon. And guess what? There ain't that much citrulline in watermelon itself just because there's not a lot of protein in watermelon. You know what I mean? So that's why supplementing with citrulline can be beneficial, I think, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. When I think of watermelon, I don't really think of one of the most nutrient-dense foods out there.
No. Yeah, definitely not. So you wanted to touch on PPIs a little bit.
Yeah, so there is one population outside of, like, your athletes that could benefit from this. So proton pump inhibitors, PPIs, they're one of the most, like, widely prescribed drugs out there. They're used to treat GERD. So, you know, like, if you have heartburn, which is how many Americans have that, I know PPIs are all over the place. Like, a lot of people are taking those. But one thing a lot of people don't realize is that one of the side effects of a PPI is that it reduces the amount of arginine production in your body. So we talked about that earlier, how the best way to get arginine is not actually consuming it, it's converting citrulline into it. So this blocks that pathway. So lower arginine leads to lower nitric oxide. So this will not only make you a worse athlete, but it'll also greatly impact your health. People taking PPIs show an increased rate of heart disease, and that's because of this. It's going to increase your blood pressure, and it's not allowing that your blood vessels to expand from a 2-lane highway into a 4-lane highway like it should be able to. It's not having that nitric oxide available to expand them. So that's another population, other than the athletes, that can greatly benefit from taking an arginine citrulline supplement.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might have talked about PPIs in the past, but we talked about it earlier today, just how PPIs are like the definition of treating a symptom and not the actual root cause. The root cause of GERD, which is, like Tom said, pretty much like bad heartburn, is not too much stomach acid. And like proton pump inhibitors, to break down what that is, like, our stomach produces stomach acid, those are protons. Those are just positively charged protons that our body uses to break down shit. And so this inhibits that process. And that just, that affects so much more than, I didn't even know it actually prevents, it like blocks that same enzymatic pathway that produces nitric oxide, which is a shame. But it's just besides the malabsorption of all other proteins that come into your diet, PPIs are a scam, 1,000%. There's a book out there called, it's on the website. If you go back, it's something about stomach acid. It's a book on stomach acid I read a couple years back. But high stomach acid is not the reason for GERD. It's not the reason for heartburn. So taking a PPI is not going to help you treat the symptoms. It's only going to cure the symptoms, or excuse me, treat the actual root cause. It's only going to stop the symptoms for a short period of time. So it's not the solution. Honestly, none of these drugs are.
Yeah, it's basically solving one problem and it's going to create several others. So honestly, the first time I've heard of this before I actually like dug into it, I always thought that it impacted your nitric oxide production because if you don't have enough stomach acid, that means you're not going to really be breaking down proteins into the amino acids like your stomach acid is supposed to be. It's supposed to be denaturing the proteins. So if it's not doing that, that means we're probably greatly decreased the amount of bioavailability you have of those amino acids. We talked about a study earlier looking at how if arginine could be 5% or it could be 68% bioavailability. That might have something to do with how much stomach acid you're producing.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a guess. We're not studying that, but that's a pretty educated guess on my part.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be it. So I think it's like a double whammy. I think it's you're absorbing a lot less amino acids, and then it's also impacting the amount of endogenous arginine that you're producing. So it's affecting you in two different ways. And you absorbing less amino acids do everything in our body. So it's probably creating other problems along with it.
Yeah, that's never a good thing. Like, no one ever wants to check that box, you know?
Yeah, I honestly don't want to eat food for the sole purpose of not absorbing it so I can poop it out.
Like, what's the
point? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, but all right. So, yeah, so that's our topic, or that's our podcast on nitric oxide boosters. That's, like, the primary ingredient pre-workouts. They 100% can be beneficial. They 100% work. But, you know, just make sure you're getting the right, like, supplement itself, citrulline, in the right dose. And if you are, then good and good to go. You know, get your diet dialed in, enjoy the pumps, and enjoy the increased recovery. And I think they can really be put into a lot of people's regimen.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I haven't tried, like, citrulline supplementation before. So it might be something I might start introducing. It sounds good. I might want to experiment with that. I know we talked about essential amino acid supplementation in the past. Citrulline and arginine are not essential amino acids. You're not going to be able to get those from that supplement. So if you're trying to supplement it with it, you either have to get it from a protein powder or from just buying those amino acids individually.
Straight up. Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right. Well, yeah, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe. We're pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. If you haven't already done so, please rate and subscribe. It greatly benefits us. And it increases our chances of new people coming to find us and just makes us feel better reading all the reviews, good or bad. So, yeah, please do that on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.